All right, well, now we got to answer the question of what is the function of apologetics? Well, historically, apologetics has been understood to involve at least three functions or goals. For example, John Frame, who our last book, if you haven't joined us for that one, is one that we just finished. Well, he's outlined three aspects of apologetics, which he calls proof, defense, and offense. And guess what? We covered that in the last book.
That's fine.
Proof involves presenting a rational basis for faith. Defense involves answering the objections of unbelief, and offense means attacking the foolishness, as cited throughout Old Testament and New Testament, of unbelieving thought. And so if you have kind of a understanding of what apologetics is, it probably comes only to kind of maybe one scope of that. But here a Frame and what the and Bowman do is they say this type of proof encompasses these three different aspects. So presenting the faith, answering objections, and then attacking unbelieving thought.
Right. So proof, defense, and offense. Right? And then they say the first three parts of Robert Raymond's fourfold analysis of the task of Christian apologetics follows the same pattern, right, of proof, defense, and offense. But Raymond adds a fourth point. Apologetics seeks to persuade people of the truth of the Christian position. Right? So they tell us that treating persuasion as a separate function is helpful since it involves elements that go beyond offering an intellectual response. Right? The focus of the first three are basically an intellectual response, right? The idea of proof and defense and offense. Persuasion is a little bit different. Persuasion must also consider the life experience of the unbeliever. So that adds to the reason why they want to add this particular fourth approach. And it also considers the proper tone to take with the person in other matters beyond simply imparting information. So apologetics, they're suggesting here, is more than just imparting information, right? More than just attempting to prove with defense and offense. It's also an attempt to persuade. So they want to add that to this kind of threefold parts or functions of apologetics. And so they've come up with four functions.
And I think we kind of discussed about this in a roundabout way when we went over Greg Kokel's tactics book, which you can find as well in our list of books that we did for the kind of the art of persuasion. All right, so we may distinguish then four functions, goals, modes, or aspects of apologetics. The first may be called vindication. Or proof, and involves marshaling philosophical arguments as well as scientific and historical evidences for the Christian faith. So you have kind of understanding of God-directed science, and then kind of the historical aspects that are found in Scripture, and saying that they coincide with kind of known facts. That we can point to as well. And so those two are incorporated into also the philosophical or logical arguments as well. Well, the goal of apologetics here is to develop a positive case for Christianity as a belief system that should be accepted.
So that's vindication or proof. That's a function of apologetics, mm-hmm. The attempt to vindicate or prove that Christianity is true. The second function is defense. And so this function is closest to the New Testament and early Christian use of the word apologia, defending Christianity against the plethora of attacks made against it in every generation by critics of varying belief systems. So this function involves clarifying the Christian position in light of misunderstandings and misrepresentations and answering objections, criticisms, or questions from non-Christians. So we are defending here. The Christian faith. This isn't proving it with regard to, you know, vindicating it. Here, this particular function is a defense, right? So it's been attacked and we have to defend it by answering these various objections.
To plug another book that we did, What About Evil? And so we talked about the question, What About Evil? In Scott Christian's book, What About Evil? So you can find that one as well. And then finally, the third function is, the third one here is that in the refutation of opposing beliefs, or what Frame calls the offense. You take the ball, you've got it turned over to you, and now it's your turn to run the defenses of the different worldviews that that you're going up against. It could be atheism, it could be Hinduism, it could be Islam, it could be all sorts of different spiritual aspects. You're asking the other side to provide the reasons for they have in believing the worldview that they function in. Well, this function, the offensive function, focuses on answering not specific objections of Christianity, but the arguments non-Christians give in support of their own belief. Most apologists agree that refutation cannot stand alone, since proving a non-Christian religion or philosophy to be false does not prove that Christianity is true. We know this because let's say that you can convince a Muslim that Islam is not true. Well, does that then coincide that Christianity is true? Well, no, it could be that Hinduism is true then. And so they could just move on to that belief system. And so it's not just one, but it is an important aspect that we have in our tool chest there. Well, nevertheless, it is an essential function of apologetics.
So vindication, then, that's the kind of proof, right? Christianity is true because of this, right? Defense, right? Okay, now you object to Christianity, so we meet those various objections. And then offense, your particular position has these problems, and we want to point those out to you. So that's the third function. And then finally, the fourth function, and they'll go over these in just a second here, a little differently. But this fourth function is persuasion, as we mentioned earlier. And by this, we do not mean, you know, merely convincing people that Christianity is true, but persuading them to apply its truth to their lives. So this function focuses on bringing non-Christians to the point of commitment. The apologist's intent here is not merely to win intellectual argument, but to persuade people to commit their lives and eternal futures into the trust of the Son of God who died for. And so they suggested we might also speak of this function as evangelism or witness. So this is the actual probably giving out and attempting to persuade people that the gospel itself is true and they should commit to Jesus Christ.
Right. And again, Greg Kochel's Tactics is probably the book that we kind of hit on this one. And actually, the one before this, the offense, I'd probably recommend the one that we went over, which was Mick Stokes' How to Be an Atheist. And I think he did a really good job there of presenting different aspects of what the atheist worldview has presented up and showing. Actually, you guys could be a little bit more consistent in your atheism. And so we went over that book as well. So we've covered the gamut on all four of them. Now we're bringing them all together in this book. Look at that.
Well, Jason Lyle's book also that we've covered, where he attempts to defend various contradictions, especially in the scriptures.
Keeping faith in the age of reason, right?
There you go. Yeah. So that one we've covered as well. Right. So yeah, we've gone through all of these various four aspects or functions of the apologetic approaches. Yeah.
And of course, all these are going to be linked below in the description, or you can just go to caveofthecross.com, go to the middle of the page, click on any of the books that we have. They're all right there in the middle. They're all set up to take you to the full playlist of everything that we have on the website as well.